Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 347. Well, behind the fourth wall, we're recording this early because Donna is about to leave on a cruise, a much needed vacation.
Yes.
She's very over life right now.
I am.
She needs to sit, have the wind in her hair. Well, though,
you
she doesn't
I
splash
hate,
your face, but.
You know, I hate the wind in my hair.
Well, only because it messes it up.
It makes me look like a troll doll because I have four sprigs and so it goes straight up.
Well, she wants to get all the cruise butter, all the cruise cookies.
I can't go ham. I'm being good.
You can enjoy yourself.
I am going to enjoy myself.
Yes. Like, this is a lifestyle. This is not a, you're not restricting because we know that we don't do well when we restrict. We fall off the rails. So if you want a cookie, eat a goddamn cookie.
I'm going to eat a cookie, but I can't eat a whole plate full
of
cookies.
Well, I didn't tell you to do that. I said, eat a cookie.
You said, eat all the cookies.
Well, that was the first thing I said. I've changed my mind. Okay. Damn it.
Because those cookies.
God, the butter. I just want all the butter on a fucking Carnival cruise. Why is the butter so good? Like, I love bread, but I eat at dinner like double the amount of bread that I would normally eat because I want more butter.
Right.
And I'm not like a butter, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like I'm not fucking Paula Deen. Like, I'm not obsessed with butter, but on a fucking Carnival cruise, that shit is yummy.
I don't know what they put in that, but my God.
Y'all doing any excursions?
Okay. So we had two planned. But there's a tropical storm going on.
Oh.
And so we canceled one because it was like a 40% chance of rain that day.
Yeah.
And it was going to be like the beach and the pool thing. And I'm like, I mean, why waste that? You know, like, I would much rather just be lounging on the ship doing all the trivia.
Right. Well, and you could still even do the pool because on those days, those are the best days to get in the pool because nobody's there.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's like all rainy and stuff.
Yeah,
anyway.
True. But in the event that it's not,
yeah,
and you're like, damn, we could have gone to the beach into the pool. Well, it won't be as much on the, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So we have one in Belize, which is basically like, it's a trolley that goes through the downtown and stuff.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, we get to learn about the history and all of that. And it's basically like the zoo's train, you know? So we still have that, but we booked that through Carnival.
Yeah.
So like if it's raining or whatever, we'll get our money back.
Wait, you were going to do an excursion that wasn't Carnival?
Yeah, the beach.
No, fuck no. Mm-mm.
We did it last time.
No, nope. I ain't getting left on that ship. Mm-mm.
I know, but see, that is one thing that I'm very hyper aware of.
Yeah, well, but the thing is that you can't predict traffic and stuff. So somebody gets in a wreck or whatever, and the traffic's backed up, you're fucked. Mm-mm. I only do excursions associated with the ship I'm on.
I feel that.
Mm-mm. I literally wouldn't be able to enjoy myself because I would be so terrified I would miss the boat.
Well, we left super early.
See, so you didn't even get the full experience.
No, like we left off the boat super early.
Okay.
We stayed there like for a long time and then we still had plenty of time.
Yeah, no, I literally have anxiety just thinking of that. I didn't know that y'all did that. And now I'm going to be anxious. Because who are they going to call to help them get flights out of that motherfucker?
Ghostbusters.
Me. Just kidding.
But, okay, here's a question. Since I am going on a cruise, did you do a shipwreck? Did you do anything that you normally do when I'm going to be in the water?
I didn't.
Okay, just wondering.
I will say it is along the Mississippi River, but it has nothing to do with the Mississippi River.
Oh, okay. So I have to tell y'all, Birdie had another training session, and I'm telling you, this trainer is fucking amazing. And she'll have little pieces of cheese that she has bigger treats, and then like these cheese crumbles that she does, right? And she'll just like, it's Mardi Gras when she's there, because she'll just like throw stuff and like get Birdie to, you know, like kind of sniff around, do all the things so she's not so anxious and all of that. Well, she threw one and it landed in Birdie's hair on her head. Cause you know, like I love a big hair poof, right? We were like, oh, she's gonna like smell around it and it'll fall out. Yeah. And then she did something. I was like, oh, it's still there. And like, so she had to give her a treat so I could get it out of her hair because it's like cheese. So it's kind of like stuck in there, you know? And she was like, could you imagine if the groomer was like, what the fuck is this? Just some cheese in her hair. No worries. And don't worry, I did tell the trainer that Carrie hit Birdie twice.
It wasn't on purpose.
Oh my God, though. In the Facebook group, I cannot remember who put this, but y'all don't know how much I cackled when they said, Carrie's hitting everything. First Birdie and then Donna's car. And I had forgotten Me about too. That. And I like snorted laughing at that. Y'all are so fucking funny.
Yes. Okay. I had to find it. So we took a little pause because I, you know, I've got to be finding everything. Because Creep Mom had posted that she was canceling me because I hit Birdie twice. And then Georgia is the one that commented, Carrie's hitting everything this episode. If it ain't Birdie, it's Donna's car. And I had completely forgotten that I had dinged your car at Big Trouble when we went to eat. And that made me giggle so hard. Like, I laughed.
Oh, my gosh. We never told them that we went to Big Trouble in Hattiesburg. That's the one that I was like, ooh, that manager owner guy, very cute. So if you're listening to this,
he's married. Stop.
No, I'm not gonna be a home wrecker. I was gonna ask if he had a brother.
Oh, okay.
God, you always expect the worst out of me. But can the brother be a twin?
That's not weird at all. Okay, I have a serious question for y'all. I've already reached out to our witchy friend, Michael, but more has happened since he and I talked about this. So I want to know, you know, his updated opinion and everybody's opinion. I have been seeing coyotes, like actual coyotes in the wild, sometimes in places where I feel like they shouldn't be. And now so is Colby. Okay, so I was covering a shift for someone that was out sick. And long story short about this part, I ended up seeing that day the nurse that was my dad's nurse the day of my wedding and the day he died. Like, it was a complete happenstance of like seeing her and being and putting it together even. Then on the way home, so this location's on like a 4-lane road. And it's not a super, super busy 4-lane because it's more like of an up-and-coming area, but it's all clear-cut. So it's not woodsy. It's like a 4-lane road where cars are going and it's clear-cut. And there was like a literal coyote just standing on the side of the road, staring into my soul on this road after I had run into the nurse that was my dad's nurse. But like, my dad has no connections with coyotes. Like, I've asked mom, like, did I miss something? Did he love coyotes? Was it, you know, some part of some club he was in? Like, did dad have any connection with coyotes? And she's like, I don't think so. I'm like, did he use anything like that? Like, because, you know, he had a CB radio, but like that, nothing with coyotes had his handle or anything like that.
This is Coyote Ugly. Over.
So then a little while later, Colby and I are going hunting in the woods and we're on the way. Like, so we're on the road and in this like field we see a coyote just running across the field. And I was like, slow down. Is that because he was like, look, I was like, oh, my God, slow down a little bit. And we didn't stop, but we slowed down a little bit. And the coyote just turned and just watched us drive by. So we're like, holy crap, this is two coyotes. First time I saw it by myself. Second time we saw it together. Life goes on. This is when I reached out to Michael and was like, what the fuck does a coyote mean? And he was like, they're tricksters, all the things. You know, he asked the same thing. Does your dad have any connection with them? Not that I know of, blah, 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 blah. So cut to later, one night, I'm literally just laying in bed. And I'm like, okay, if a coyote really does mean something, I'll see another one. And then I go to sleep. Well, the next day, we're meeting Donna and Tiffany for dinner. And Colby and I had both gotten off. Like, it was our day to get off a little early, so we had some time to kill before we met the girls. And he was like, let's go to this pet store beside the restaurant. And I was like, okay. First of all, I thought he was joking because I didn't know there was a pet store there. Turns out it's been there for like 20 years.
Yes. I was like, it's been there forever?
Next to the pet store was an Ace Hardware. And he had been in there recently and was like, oh my God, we have to go in here so you can see all their Christmas decorations because they are amazing.
Are they expensive?
Very.
Ugh.
So we're looking at the Christmas decorations, and I was like, I started walking to like the outside area where they keep all the outside things. He's like, where are you going? I was like, I don't know. I just want to come look out here. Walk out. One of the first things I see is a concrete statue of a coyote.
What are the odds?
Like literally the day after I said, if I see another coyote, it means something.
Yeah.
Well, I think like the next week, Colby goes hunting and he goes like hella early because the land that he hunts is an hour away from us and he likes to get there, you know, before daylight. So he wakes up at like 3. He's gone by 4. He's in the woods by 5. Hell no. Anywho's it's. He texts me and he says, guess what walked out as soon as the sun came up? And I was like, ooh, a buck? Like what, you know?
Yeah.
He was like, no, a coyote. And I was like, holy shit, did it acknowledge you? Because the real life ones that we've seen have like looked at us, you know? And he said, it looked at his blind, but he said, I don't know if it smelled me and was trying to figure out where I was or if he was truly looking at me. He was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, then a little bit later, he then sends me a screenshot because one was walking past one of his cameras too. So it's like, he's had these cameras in these woods forever and it may have captured coyotes before and we just, you know, coyotes weren't on our radar, so he didn't show me. But another one showed up on his camera. So we've seen like 5 coyotes, not just me and him, and then just him. Like, what the fuck do these mean?
I don't know.
And we could be stretching with the like coyote on the camera because, again, I'm sure they're all in those woods. And over the years, he's probably gotten tons of pictures of coyotes, but they just hadn't been on our radar.
Right.
But one that close to him in the woods, like, I don't know that. Like, that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
So what does it mean, y'all? You have to tell me. Because I mean, the first one was in connection with Dad that day, but nothing else. Like, I don't know what they would mean for Dad. Yeah. And then also, why is Colby seeing them, too?
Yeah.
So y'all hit me up. Let me know what you think.
I want to know, too, because I am clueless.
Clueless. All right, well, before we get into Donna's story, we have to talk about uncommon goods. It's time to spark something uncommon this holiday with incredible hand-picked gifts from Uncommon Goods.
We all have that person that is hard to shop for because they have everything. Well, Uncommon Goods is a great place to shop because they have a little bit of everything, and a lot of it is limited edition. Also, a lot of these are original, handmade, so it's even more special. But they have something for everyone.
I told y'all what I got my nephew last time because, you know, when you're shopping for kids sometimes too, it's like they have every toy imaginable. And so, especially as they get older, because he's 10, about to be 11, and it's like, hey, he doesn't need a Tinker set, Tinker Toys, but you know, I also don't just want to get video games and stuff like that. So I was like, what's something so unique? I was looking on Uncommon Goods and I saw all of these blueprints of like stadiums and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, he's a huge Astro fan. And that's what I got him. So you get these amazing, unique gifts for people that are hard to shop for. I have been looking on there for my mom because she's super hard to shop for. So I've been looking for like Red Cardinal stuff, you know, so you can look based on just searching ideas, or you can even look searching based on who they are, like gifts for him, gifts for mom, gifts for whomever.
They have really great, funny, quirky coffee mugs. And you know, I'm a sucker for a coffee mug. Also, I got one of my friends a pot tarot card set because, you know, she does be working in the cannabis industry with me and she loves tarot. That's something I never thought would go together, you know, and then here comes Uncommon Goods. Saw it, had to get it. And that's just a little happy for her. Something I got for myself is something called a shower steamer because I don't always take baths, but I do take a shower and they have different smells, all the things. But you know what? Me being the Leo, there's one for a Leo. It's one for your zodiac sign. So, of course, I had to get that. But I absolutely love it.
There's even a sentimental sand custom ornament. It's the shape of a snowflake. And in the middle is sand from like your favorite places to go. So you could be like, let's say that every year you take your favorite trip to Florida. Well, you pick the U.S., Florida, and what island and where you went. And they put sand from that in the ornament. Like, just in unique, interesting gifts like that. Uncommon Goods is there for you to find the most unique gifts for each person on your list. And right now, to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/creep.
That's uncommongoods.com/creep for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer, Uncommon Goods.
We're all out of the ordinary. uncommongoods.com/creep.
All right, we're going across the pond to Liverpool, and we're going to focus on a man named Michael Diamond, and he's in his 40s and a collector of curiosities, all things weird, unique, oddities, if you will. Like I mentioned, he lives in Liverpool with his wife, Sally, and their two children, Amber and Caleb.
Fun fact, if I would have been a boy, my name would have been Caleb.
Fun fact, mine would have been David.
Mine's funner.
Yeah, Caleb sounds like a hot guy.
Well, mine just had to do with your story, that's why.
So he has this room where he displays his collection. And guess what the room's called?
My collection display.
Wow, you're fun at parties.
Well, I figured it was going to be either something like really clever or really lame.
Well, it's called the Freak Room.
Oh.
Which sounds like a sex dungeon, but either way, I'm here for it. In this room, he has a wide range of shit. He has real swords and axes that were used in executions.
Oh, shit. He is giving me a wannabe Zach Bagans.
Well.
Or was he the original?
No, but you're right. I literally say that later. So thanks for stealing my thunder.
Sorry.
Imagine that. The one time we're on the same page. But he also has shrunken heads, Houdini's handcuffs, to name a few.
Wait, like literal shrunken heads?
Yeah.
Like it's like a person?
Well.
And their head shrunk?
That's what it looks like. I don't know. I didn't call Michael. He has a wife, you know.
Oh, we learned earlier. She ain't a homewrecker.
Even though you think I am.
This week.
The oddity we're going to talk about is Mr. Fritz. Who's Mr. Fritz?
Is he married to the lady with the magic school bus?
No.
That's Fritzel. Yeah. Isn't she Miss Fritzel? Okay, continue. I'll quit talking.
No, you go right ahead. He's a ventriloquist doll from the 1940s.
Absolutely not.
Look, I couldn't be that because I can't hardly even say it. Did y'all hear me struggle?
Well, I literally couldn't be like, no, because I just, this doll's giving me the heebie-jeebies already.
Oh, you just wait, ma'am. Well, it's not the whole doll. It's just the head.
What?
So that's even scarier, all right? So in the freak room, Mr. Fritz is in a glass case and the head is mounted on top of like a wooden dowel rod kind of thing. So it's a head, and then you can see the two strings that would be coming down, you know, that they would be able to pull or whatever, however that shit works. So how did he become the owner of Mr. Fritz, and what makes this a scary story other than a ventriloquist doll? Literally, I was just saying the next thing, but I wrote, other than it's a ventriloquist doll's head, and it reminds me of that movie Dead Silence.
Never seen that.
What? Man, me and Tiffany saw that in the theater, and I was like, that fucking freaked me out. I think it's because Slappy from Goosebumps, he always freaked me out. He was a ventriloquist doll?
I got nothing, Donna.
My God, did you even have a childhood?
Yes, which is why I wasn't watching Goosebumps.
We read it.
I'm just kidding.
And watched it, ma'am. I'm sorry that you and your imaginary boyfriend like Sister Act more than Goosebumps.
We were too busy holding hands to be watching.
But you would think that you would want that so he would hold you closer.
Look, I'm not a tiny dancer. That was such a lame Donna joke. I hate myself for that joke right now.
I love it. Which is probably why you hate yourself. If that's a caliber. Okay. Anyways, Michael.
Can y'all tell that Donna stopped at Starbucks before we recorded? And I'm only like a fourth of the way through mine. She sucked that shit down like it was going out of style. But I got about 3/4 left.
Literally thought you were going to say she sucked that shit down like it was a dig.
Well, okay. I was about to say, y'all know she likes to suck shit down. And then you just went all the way there.
Okay. Normally, Michael pays a lot of money for his collectibles, right? Again, this is where I put, he's like Zach Bagans. He will pay for the weird, the macabre, all the stuff.
You know, it wasn't until we started this podcast that I knew how to spell macabre.
Right. It's a weird word.
It's macabre.
Yeah. But okay, so he was at this festival in Liverpool, and a person came up to him and mentioned Mr. Fritz. Well, and this wasn't just like any old person like me going like, hey, Michael, I have this doll. This was a well-known World War II like memorabilia collector dealer. So, of course, Michael's ears perked up because why does this man have a fucking doll's head? You know, why are you talking about this? Well, this guy had found him in the Antiques Mall in Myrtle Beach. And honestly, we don't know how Mr. Fritz ended up there, but he did. But after hearing the backstory of the doll, the dealer bought him for his collection, flew him back to Liverpool with him, and decided that he needed to find a new home for Mr. Fritz. So the reason that the World War II collector, dealer, all the things guy bought Mr. Fritz is because there was a connection to a German prisoner of war POW camp. Now, in the antique place, there is a small handwritten note that came with Mr. Fritz, the doll head. It detailed that the doll was used as entertainment in Stalag 2B, and that was between 1943 and 1945. Now, the camp was situated on like a little over 25 acres and had been used during World War I as a camp for Russian prisoners. And then in 1933, it was established as one of the first Nazi concentration camps to house German communist. But that only lasted a few months. Then the prisoners were sent elsewhere. But in 1939, in September, the camp then became the prisoner of war camp to house Polish soldiers. Then fast forward to August 1943, and the first American prisoners arrived there. And they had been taken prisoner in the Tunisian campaign? Was I a history major? Yes. Do I know anything? No. So the camp was divided into four compounds. And like what you see on all the movies, they were separated by barbed wire fences, really bad living conditions. There were over 600 U.S. POWs in Stalag 2B, and they occupied like five buildings. That's how many were in here. Now, the barracks were overcrowded, of course, so the POWs had to sleep where they could, and that would be like on tables, on the floor, in chairs, And they really stayed here because they didn't really do a lot of work here, but they would go off to like different work duties, but have to stay there. Again, it's documented that the treatment was pretty harsh, and it was actually the worst American POW camp in Germany. Now, they did have some supplies from the Red Cross, but it was really bare bones. Their meals consisted of hot water for breakfast that they could use for coffee, maybe. Water soup with 7 small boiled potatoes.
Water soup?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And 3 slices of heavy black bread and a slice of sausage for dinner. And there were times where, like, you could get water that was fit to drink, but then they would turn it off. But then you would have to kind of make do after that.
Yeah.
But we know that even in the worst situations and conditions, people look for a way to have little moments to celebrate, to alleviate the pain, the hardship. And that's where Mr. Fritz comes into play. There is this American POW who is known as Private Billy Booth. He had been a puppeteer, and not like a famous puppeteer, but like this is what he did kind of on his side thing. And he loved like children's entertainment, all of that before the war. Now, obviously, he didn't have his puppets with him, so he made one. He used German newspapers soaked in potato starch and then had smuggled in some paint from a Polish farmer. It's like a pink gloss, and he painted him with that. And let me just tell you that the head looks real, real scary. And I mean, for what he had, looks amazing, okay?
Yeah.
But like, he has bushy eyebrows, his eyes look real weird, his mouth is like in like a smile, but kind of like a grimace too. So I'm going to show you a picture of him real quick so you can give your thoughts. Okay, here's the picture.
What?
Right?
Y'all gotta Google this. The mouth is something.
It's terrifying.
Wow. That mouth is what nightmares are made of.
Like, you weren't imagining it being like that, right?
Not even a little, no.
So Private Booth started putting on these little skits and singing songs with Mr. Fritz. Oh, Mr. Fritz and skits. That's cute. Anyway, he did this for a little over a year, and everyone loved when Mr. Fritz came out to play. Even some of the German guards, like, they wouldn't, like, fuck with it because they're like, no, I mean, like, it's actually pretty funny.
By funny, they mean the most terrifying thing they've ever seen.
However, the world is terrible. And if you didn't know that, I just need to tell you, the world's terrible, y'all. Sorry.
Well, you also are talking about concentration camps, so.
Mm-hmm. And on January 14th, 1945, Private Booth and a few more American POWs were forced to dig a large pit, and then they were shot and buried in that pit. That was just 2 weeks before the camp was liberated. However, when it was liberated, one of the fellow American POWs smuggled Mr. Fritz out, and he ended up giving the doll to Private Booth's family and just like let them know that, you know, he really tried to uplift everyone, do all the things like they wouldn't have made it without him, you know, all of it. Now, we don't know how Mr. Fritz ended up in the antique mall, remember?
Mm-hmm.
But the doll head is freaky and not in the deaky kind of way. So maybe after it was passed down from generations, someone was like, I gotta get rid of this. Or if they were just a Donna and it was like, oh, well.
They purged.
I gotta purge it, yeah. Or maybe, you know, someone passed and there was no one to keep the doll. If they're anything like my family, like, we're dropping like flies over here. So here's that. But what we do know is that the dealer took Mr. Fritz home and said that when he put it on display in his showroom, shit started going bump in the night. Now, I will say this isn't a terrifying case like where it's like, you know, Annabelle, where you wake up and the doll is like over you and like going to kill you, leaving little notes being like, fuck you, motherfucker.
Hmm.
But he would lock it up for the night, you know, make sure all his little things are done, come back in the morning and discover Mr. Fritz's display case was wide open. And he's like, I know I shut that, but like, maybe I didn't, you know. Next night, same thing. And this was the only one that was fucking up. And so he's like, you know what? He like did some tests. He was like testing the humidity just to know like if that had something to do with the latch. And I'm like, God, that's science and I don't understand it. But, you know, he was really trying to figure out why. But then he said sometimes when he would come in and the door would be open, Mr. Fritz would have his eyes like way more open and they were normally closed.
No, no. His eyes changed? No.
And his mouth would also change positions. And again, the dealer tried to think of everything like a breeze. And he even said, like, what if there was like a mouse that was opening up the thing and getting in the head, because it's just a fucking head, like a paper mache head.
Yeah.
And like made a nest in there, which all I could think about was Tiffany and her gooter with the mice. But also, what in their ratatouille is it?
Right. I'm like, I did not know that Michael J. Fox is still doing Stuart Little. Is that who did the voice? No
yeah.
idea. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I think so.
Pulled that out of my ass, or the mouse in my head figured it out.
You know how my dad used to say, are you pregnant or do you have a mouse in the pocket?
No, I don't remember that.
Never? Because my mom would be like, oh yeah, we'll help you. And he would
say, oh yeah.
Are you pregnant or do you have a mouse in your pocket?
Okay. I thought you meant he would just randomly say, are you pregnant or do you have a mouse in your pocket? And I'm like, that makes no sense. The mouse wouldn't make their belly big. Okay, wow, that makes way more sense.
Because, yes, I feel like that's how it is for you and Colby, too. Like, because you'll just be like, yeah, we'll help, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's a package deal, you know? And Colby's like, I mean, okay. He laid some mouse traps. Nothing ever hit. So luckily, he didn't have any mice. But he's like, what the fuck is going on? Day after day, it continued to happen. And so he taped the door shut. But the following day, that tape had been peeled back and the door was open. So he was like, okay, we're not going to have you inside anymore. Like, whatever's going on with you, I don't know. So he put him in a garden shed. All right. But his children didn't know that he had put him in the garden shed, but they were playing in the yard. And they said, oh my God, like we hear laughter.
Oh my
like
God.
Laughing. And he was like, where? And it was close to the garden shed. And he told them and they were like, oh no, we're not going near that. But people would like hear the laughter. So he kept him there for 6 months. But that's exactly when he was like, yeah, I'm going to give this away. Like, you don't have to buy it. I'm going to give it to you. So as soon as Michael placed him in the freak room, things started to get freaky.
Pun intended.
Yes. The door started to open. And at first, it was once or twice a week, you know. So again, he was like, well, maybe the screws are loose. Maybe I didn't latch. Maybe I didn't latch it well, you know, doing all the like all the reasoning, all the things. But then it started happening every night. He discovered one morning that the display case was not only open, but it had moved on the table, like enough, like 6 inches. And we know 6 inches, it's a pretty good size. But anyway, but you know what I mean? Like,
did you write that down?
No. I just got dick on the brain now.
You do. If there's a, if the boat's a rocket, don't come a knock in the Donna's room this next week.
Yeah, with me, my sister, and Tiffany all up in there like sardines.
Whatever you're into, man. They could have a room.
Oh, if they got their own personal room on a cruise, they rich.
Yeah, so hit them up.
So Michael was like, all right, like, how did this happen? What's going on? So he set up a GoPro camera just to monitor Mr. Fritz, just to see what he could find out. And this was over the course of 2 nights in September 2019. Michael said he pretty much knew he was going to catch something on the camera because shit had been happening, but he wasn't ready for what he saw on the camera. He said that the doll's eyes did move, the mouth moved, and the door kept unlatching, and it would, like, swing open. But then sometimes it would like go back to being closed a little bit, like not all the way latched, but like would close. And he, you know, again, he thought he was going to catch something, but he said watching the footage back, his stomach started to hurt something fierce and he felt overwhelmed with a sense of dread and he just felt weird. Now, on the footage, you can see the door swing open on the first night. Then the next night is when the eyes move before the door opens. And then after the door is open, the eyes move one more time. Then the mouth moves as well. Now, Michael said he's not scared of Mr. Fritz, but he's cautious and very aware of his presence. But his wife and daughter hate Mr. Fritz, cannot go into the room, which I'm like, I couldn't go into that freak room anyway because he had like a lot of weird shit up in there.
Yeah.
But I understand why they don't like this doll's head. If you see it, you know. So he ended up putting a blanket over the case, but the door still kept opening underneath that blanket. So now he has the case locked. He has the blanket over it, and then wrapped around that is a chain to keep the door from unlatching. Now, there's skeptics, of course, because they say, since you can't see the entire room on the video, what if someone's using a fishing line to move the strings? Because you can see the strings move, but people were like, they're going to move because they're attached. Even if he just like moves his eye by himself, it's going to force the string to move. Like it's,
yeah,
the mechanics work that way. But they said, you know, like it could open the door too, and who knows. Another thing is people looked and they couldn't find a private booth who was a prisoner of war. But the story of the camp is very much fact. And there were 8 American POWs shot and killed for not working hard enough, quote unquote. That's true as well. And they were killed on a work duty detail, which is how, you know, where they had to dig and all the things. So like that lines up, but who knows if the, like if they changed the name, if, you know, like who knows, but it could be like the Dybbuk box and where he's made this backstory up for something that could be potentially haunted, but you know, the backstory makes it more haunting and all. I don't know. I will say something that was a little ick to me. Sorry, Michael Diamond, if you're listening to this. But, you know, they had that small handwritten note about Mr. Fritz. So that was like passed down from the family or whoever, right? But in his case, he has that. And then he put some swastikas next to the things. And I think it's like to show the significance of the thing. But I'm like,
no,
I feel like that's just not cool.
Yeah, that's ick. That's, yeah. You don't do that. You don't do that.
Ugh. Yeah. So I was like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, that's gross.
But I want to show you the video real quick, just so you can kind of see it.
The only time there should be swastikas literally anywhere is if it's in a museum and it's showing you like the outfits that they wore. You know what I mean? Like, you're not right. Just having it, I don't know.
Right. Like, if they're in pictures in the museum, because that's, like, actual pictures and things like that, because just saying that word is a lot, you know? Like, it's, ugh.
Yeah, that's very, very ick.
And I know the beginning of swastikas wasn't with the Nazis. There, it was, a whole different meaning. But they've made it that meaning. And so it's like, it's no.
No, you know what that means.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I don't believe this.
I don't know either, but I will tell you, whatever it is, that fucking doll head is fucking creepy.
I really think the fact that there was no Bob the Builder or whatever his name was.
Billy Booth.
Yeah, because he didn't exist that they know of, that to me is like, that's weird. And then that video you just showed me doesn't look real.
I can see that.
Like, it feels very jerky, like the movement, you know?
Yeah.
The mouth movement was pretty weird.
I was going to say, your eyebrows went up on that one.
Yeah, the mouth movement was pretty weird.
But I don't know. But I just know that that doll's head is going to haunt me in my nightmares.
Yeah, that doll's head is fucking creepy as shit.
Like, just that alone, if I looked at it, I would be like, that's haunted. Like, I don't want no part of that.
Yeah, I don't want your life.
Like, not at all.
Yeah, it's weird, but I feel like these last two episodes have been very skeptical. Your stories have had, not your story, you know what I mean? But, like, I just feel like there's just some, like, it's like, cool, 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 and then there's like, wait.
I know,
there's
right?
There's that detail that makes you go, huh, I don't know if I believe it now.
Right.
And I think, like, the swastikas being in there is, it's more than ick to me. It makes me go, I don't know.
Right. It really does remind me of Zach Bagans and, like, how he'll put more detail into something to make it more, like, to drive the point home and whatever. And so then it takes it to, like, that real ick factor.
Yeah, and it's like, the story is enough if it's real. Like, the story's enough. You don't have to fabricate, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think I would appreciate it more if you were like, look, I had this doll's head and this is a story that I was told. I can't verify it, but there's some weird shit happening with the doll.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That I could appreciate more and, you know, get behind than this is the story all about how my life got turned upside down. And then you can't verify any of it.
Right. I will say that he doesn't, like, seemingly make money off of this. Like, I only found a few articles about it, but I would love to see Zach Bagans go over to his house and just kind of see what about the freak room is going on, you know?
Yeah.
Just to see how he deals with it, because I feel like Zach Bagans would be meeting his doppelganger, basically, because Michael Diamond is, I feel like, the Liverpool's version of Zach Bagans. Like, he looks like he would wear the Ed Hardy stuff because the picture I saw of him, hold on, I'm going to show you the picture.
Well, here's the thing too. Even just calling it the freak room is kind of ick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I feel like, did we not learn anything from people being called like freak show and all of that? Like, it just.
Okay, I'm going to show you the picture of him and you tell me if he's not an older version of Zach Bagans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how to describe it, but he's just, he's Zach. If you've seen Zach, this is an older version of him. And yeah, I mean, I would love to see them two together.
Well, before we get into my story, we have to talk about Lumi. We love Lumi. You love Lumi. If you don't love Lumi, because you've never tried it, you're living under a rock, but we got the chance for you to learn and love yourself. Lumi is a whole body deodorant that is literally safe to use everywhere. Your pits, your tits, and your bits. All the places. Because it's pH balanced, so it's not going to mess up your balance. You can use it below the waist, you know, your bits or your butts.
Any place that gets stinky, you're going to want to put Lumi there, okay?
And now they have a sweat control deodorant as well. So you're going to get the smell blocker and the sweat blocker.
And when she says odor blocker, she means that it is clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours.
So if you're like me and you're premenopausal and you're having your hot flashes and you're sweating in literally all the places and you don't want to stink and you want sweat control, or you're not sweating, but you're just like, oh my God, let me not stink, because, you know, sometimes you just worry about that. Lumi's for you. It's baking soda and paraben free, and it's got all the good smells. We know Donna's. She loves toasted coconut. Literally, I can smell her toasted coconut whenever we're like measuring and stuff. I'm like, oh, you go into the gym, or oh, you went to the gym today. I smell your toasted coconut. But they've got other smells like clean tangerine, lavender sage, and Lumi comes in many different forms. It's not just a solid stick deodorant. They've got cream tubes. They've got body wash. They've got wipes. Any and everything you might need to make sure you ain't stanky.
Right. They even have spray deodorant, which is aluminum free. And so it's good in those hard to reach places.
And if you can't decide which one you want, like, I don't know what scent I want. I don't know. Like, do I want the stick? Do I want the cream? Do I want this? Do I want that? Well, Lumi's got a starter pack that's perfect for you, because you're like, don't really know what I want. Get the starter pack. It comes with a solid stick, the cream tube, and two free products of your choice, like the body wash or the wipes. And you get free shipping.
Now, as a special offer for listeners like you, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. What's our code, Carrie?
Head on over to LumiDeodorant.com and use the promo code CREEP to get 15% off all Lumi products. So if you get the starter pack, like you said, that's like over 40% off.
Again, that is LumiDeodorant.com. LumiDeodorant.com. Use the code CREEP at checkout. Smell fresher, stay drier, and boost your confidence head to toe with Lumi.
Okay, well, my story this week is a recommendation from the email from Rebecca S. And let me just tell you, I didn't put this together, but I was working on my story and I laughed and said, oh my God, the girl's dog's name is Colby. And Colby was like, oh, ha, 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 ma, ma, ma. And then he goes, wait, her dog's name is Colby and her name is Carrie? And I was like, oh my God, I didn't put it together that the person that we're talking about in this story is Carrie Olson.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought her name was Rebecca.
No, that's who said the story.
Okay.
But the story is about Carrie Olson, who has a dog named Colby.
Wow. That's like the drag racer who was Carrie Colby. I was like, yes. What are the odds of that? And spelled the same.
Well, this one's not spelled the same. So, Carrie Olson was born August
8th,
1984.
What?
Yes.
Okay, why does this have so many ties to us?
If her best friend is Tiffany, I'm going to die.
Like, seriously.
So, Carrie was born in Davenport, Iowa. Her parents are David and Karen, so your would have been name.
Oh, my God. And what people call you a lot, Karen.
They do. They do get me confused when I say the name Carrie. They go, Karen? And I'm like, no.
Especially if you say, oh, we're Donna and Carrie. They're like, oh, Donna Karen?
Yes.
If this lady has a fucking coyote in her story, I'm done.
No coyotes. Carrie was truly, though, the life of the party. So now we know she's nothing like me. She was great. I'm the Grinch.
She loved going to parties. Carrie's like, how can I leave?
But Carrie was super close with her parents. She even worked at the family business. They had a flooring company. Now, this story was on an episode of Dateline called Without a Trace. And in the Facebook group that is in loving memory of Carrie Olson, they even say, like based on the wishes of the family, we're not doing any interviews. Dateline was and is the only interview we agreed to do as a thank you for sharing her missing posters. Because when Carrie went missing, which we'll get into that, but when Carrie went missing, her friends actually reached out to Dateline's Missing in America series, like segment, where they would like share the missing posters and stuff to help people be found. And they did feature her. And so the family only did the Dateline episode as like, thank you for helping us when she was missing. I feel like the family's pretty private about this, but you know, it's definitely a story that deserves to be shared because Carrie just seemed like such a vibrant and loving person that just was truly like the life of the party, had a lot of great friends that have really suffered a loss.
Well, I'll tell you why she was so great. Best birthday ever.
Oh, God.
And she was a Leo. Of course she was the life of the party. I mean, among other things, but the birthday really drives it home.
So this story starts taking place in December of 2013. Carrie is 29 years old and, like I said, working for her parents' flooring carpeting company. To me, she was a lot like Colby is, like so close to her parents that they like do everything for her. Like she, at the drop of a hat, she could call her parents and her dad would come help her do anything. The vibe that I got was that she's as close to her parents as Colby is to his.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was 29 years old and I feel like she was where we were at that age, where life wasn't necessarily where she thought it would be going into her 30s because she was single, you know, living on her own, and because she really wanted to get married and start a family. She had her own house and she was dating and, you know, just trying to find her path. And because she was so vivacious and beautiful, she didn't have trouble finding dates, unlike us. She just was trying to find that person. Cut to Carrie meeting a boyfriend. So there was this karaoke bar that Carrie really loved to go to. And there was a guy named Tim McVeigh. Not that one.
Girl, my eyes shot up.
Yeah, not that Timothy McVeigh. This Tim McVeigh. Spelled differently.
Okay, that reminds me of our friend Jessica, whose fiance is Casey Anthony.
I know. But a boy, Casey Anthony.
Yeah.
And the two were both similar in that they were, I mean, he was in charge of karaoke. So you know that Tim was like the life of the party, all of that.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder, though, because they both had so much of the same energy, was it too much? Or was it the perfect amount? Which I don't think so, because we do find out they broke up. Spoiler alert. But, like, you know, sometimes you got to have a little bit of a balance. And so if you both are the life of the party, it's harder for the other one to shine.
Yeah. Well, you know, on TikTok, they say that one partner should be the black cat and one should be the golden retriever.
Yes. Yes. That is Colby and me. 1,000%. But we can flip, I feel like. There can be moments that I'm more golden retriever, he is more black cat. I mean, it's usually the other way around, 99.8% of the time. But that 0.2%, we can switch.
Yeah. I was like, I'm the golden retriever.
Yes. Yes.
Actually, I'm a golden doodle, okay? I am mixed with a poodle, for sure.
Yeah, smart.
I was just going to be like, high maintenance as
fuck. Well, you're not,
I'm not really
high energy.
Okay.
Why don't we talk over each other in our Starbucks haze?
Please sponsor us.
Everybody's like, I hate y'all this episode.
I'm sorry. But I'm not, I can be high energy for like
you
some
can.
People. Like I really can. Just not when I'm hating life for 2 weeks, but, and not high maintenance, like people who like want to have makeup, their hair and all of that done. I'm just high maintenance in life.
People are high maintenance in different ways. Like you think of high maintenance, like they got to have the best handbag and the best hair and makeup and all that stuff. But like everybody's high maintenance in their own way.
Yeah. Like my high maintenance is, Carrie, close the fucking drawer after you open
it. You are so set in your ways. Not high maintenance. You are set in your ways.
No one needs to leave the drawer open.
Do y'all know what word she said? Because she said it weird.
I know. I was like, don't mention it. Don't say anything. Maybe she didn't understand what I said.
Of course I did. No, nobody understood you, but I knew what you were trying to say.
That drawer. That drawer.
Like she literally walked into my kitchen a minute ago and goes, Carrie, close the drawer. I'm like, it's my kitchen.
Oh my God.
All right, let's get back to Carrie. So she and Tim are dating. Now, Tim was wanting to become a minister. He was at school studying theology and all the things. And now he was 10 years older than her. And he was like, I don't have enough lived experiences to be able to be a minister. So I'm not going to do that. And so that's when he became the karaoke person. I feel like that's a crock of shit. I feel like I feel like he struggled in school, didn't realize how hard it was going to be. And then was like, oh, you know what? I'm too young.
Yeah, that's really weird, though. Like, I don't have as much lived experience, so I'm not going to do it. I mean, like, you could still do it and then
learn and grow.
Yeah.
Like, you think a priest that's never been married and, like, is celibate and all those things can't counsel a couple? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's
right.
Like saying, like, just because you haven't lived it. You know, people who graduate with, like, a social work degree and are counselors could be 24 years old. And they still have the knowledge from school to help people. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I feel like that's a crock of shit. Anywho's it's. Now, are some people going to be like, because we've talked about that, like how I feel like I wouldn't be a good peds therapist because I feel like the parents wouldn't respond to me as well because I don't have kids of my own. You know, when I'm making recommendations, they're like, you don't understand what I'm going through. I can understand that to an extent. I don't know. I hate him. So let's move on.
Yeah, but that's just fucking weird.
And he was divorced and had two kids.
So he's had some life experience.
Right. It's not like he's 21 figuring this out. Like, he's 10 years older than Carrie and has lived a life. The relationship was going really well until Carrie found out that Tim didn't want to have more kids. And that's a deal breaker for her because she wanted to have some biological kids and he didn't want to have any more. And she was like, well, I mean, it's been fun, but like, I got to move on, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't long after Carrie and Tim broke up that she started dating a guy named Justin Mueller. Now, Justin was her black cat to her golden retriever. He was not this huge life of the party like Carrie and Tim. He was a veteran that had been through the Iraq War and was quiet. Everybody was like, he's super nice, polite, but he was quiet. He was reserved. He's been through a lot. He had PTSD. So he's not going to be the one that's like freaking raising the roof at the party. He's going to be the one sitting back watching, making sure everybody's safe and protected.
Yeah.
And people felt like he was a pretty good fit for Carrie, but they did worry about his personality being so different from her. But they're like, overall, he's seems to be a good guy. Like, he works hard. He's, you know, like I said, nice to everyone. And they ended up moving in together.
Also, I feel like people like that are different with their partners, like just by themselves.
Yes.
They'll be more, you know, like they'll open up and be more free. But then you put them in a situation and they're gonna, you know, just be kind of more reserved.
Like, let's even take Colby's dad, for example. He's a veteran. And if you're at their house, like eating lunch, he's chatty, he's telling jokes, he's doing all the things. You take him to a restaurant where there's a lot of people and he's kind of watching to see what's going on. He's more reserved. He doesn't talk as much. He kind of just eats his food and watches. And, you know, he's different than even when he was younger and like had liquid courage of like, because he doesn't really drink anymore. So when he was younger and out and about and partying, he would be drinking. Mm-hmm. And so his guard would be down, whereas now he's more reserved. And so I feel like while that can be difficult in a relationship, because Carrie and Justin did have difficulty because of his PTSD, it's something that isn't a deal breaker in a relationship. Right. And I feel like some of her friends maybe felt like it should have been, but I think it's all in what Carrie's willing to work through, because everyone has their trauma. Everyone has their issues. I mean, you know, I have trauma with finances. My insecurities of like appearance and all of that definitely came out with, you know, in our relationship. Colby's issues with how he had been treated in the past by partners and all of that. You know, when you argue, like sometimes I felt like at the beginning he would go for the jugular and I'm like, whoa, this ain't that serious, because it was his defense mechanism and we worked through it over time. Like,
yeah,
I feel like some people are like, well, he has PTSD and it's hard. And she was like, no, we'll work through it, you know?
Right.
Especially the older you get, people, unlike Tim, have lived experiences and they're going to have trauma. They're going to have things that are going to come up in a relationship. They're going to have these things that they're setting their ways on and they don't want you to leave the cabinet doors open. And you're going to have things you're going to have to work through. You're not 20 years old and you're both living in a house for the first time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But all that said, just 3 weeks after Justin moved in, Carrie went missing. So on December 30th of 2013, it's Monday, and she's supposed to be going to work at the store, her parents' store, and she doesn't show up. And when you called her, her phone went straight to voicemail. So her family and her friends are literally doing everything that they can do to figure out where is Carrie, because she didn't show up for work, phone's going straight to voicemail, and no one can find her. They've done a missing persons. They are literally trying to contact. They're contacting everyone. This is even when they contacted Dateline to start getting the word out.
Now, here's the thing. Is Justin helping with this?
Yeah, I think so. I never really saw that he wasn't. I don't feel like he was probably doing as much as her family and friends, but that's purely conjecture. I don't actually know that answer, but I don't think he wasn't helpful.
Okay, yeah.
They created Facebook groups. The Quad Cities Missing Persons Network got involved. I mean, her story, part of Dateline, reached 9 million people, was shared 42,000 times. Like, this story was getting out about Carrie, and they still had no answers. So the police, of course, when someone goes missing, they're going to start in the home and they're going to interview Justin. So the police ask him, like, what the heck happened? And he's like, I don't know. He tells police that he and Carrie had had a fight the night before she went missing and that she stormed out. And at the time of this, he hadn't seen her in 2 days. And they're like, well, like, what did she say? She said he was being stupid. And.
But about what? What was the fight about?
Right. And then she left. Now, the police do talk to Tim McVeigh. And when they, what?
I can't get over his name being the same.
And when they talk to him, he is on vacation in Las Vegas because the police find out that he and Carrie are still really good friends. And he's like, oh, my God, like, I'm coming home. I want to help.
Sorry, I was just trying to have life experiences.
Right. But he's like, you know what, though? Y'all should go look at my house.
What?
Yeah, that's what everybody else is like. But he tells Carrie's dad, yeah, go look at my house. There's an open window. Crawl through the window and look around. Because she may have gone to my house if they had gotten a fight. So they go look at his house and they saw nothing. Like, she wasn't there. And keep in mind, Carrie's dog, Colby, is her everything. Like, this is not a dog that she would have just left. And now she's been gone for days at this point.
Yeah.
And, like, not checked in on Colby, not made sure of anything. Like, Colby's just chilling at home.
What kind of dog is Colby? Do we know?
Cute. I know that. I have no idea.
Okay.
So as the investigation continues, they get a search warrant to search Carrie's house. And that includes, well, the house, but also everything that was Justin's too, like his vehicle and all of that. So they checked everything and everything is as it should be. Like, it doesn't look like anything's been cleaned up and like everything is totally fine. They take pictures of all the things, but it doesn't look like it's been a crime scene or anything like that. And then they get a search warrant for Tim McVeigh's house. And I feel like everything kind of jumped the shark a little bit on why they had that for him. But I'm going to just think it's because he was like, hey, she could have gone to my house.
Yeah.
But he was in Vegas, right? Now, when they go to Tim's house, they notice things are a bit more disheveled because Tim is renovating his house. So there's just like shit everywhere and construction stuff, rolls of carpet, like all the things.
Uh-huh. To me, that seems like you could hide a body and put some concrete over the floor and not be like, oh, I'm just renovating, allegedly.
Now, where they lived, it was right on the Mississippi River. So they were even looking in the Mississippi River to see if maybe she had fallen in. They have to look at all aspects, even did she die by suicide or something like that. They have to look at every possibility. And so they even looked in the river for her, but came up with nothing. And of course, this was so huge that there were tips coming in, psychics were calling in, all the things. And people really started talking about Justin, her boyfriend that lived with her, because they said that he had been stalking her and all of this, like, before he moved in. But Carrie's family didn't know much about her relationship with Justin. She was pretty hush-hush about everything. Turns out, she was actually still really close to Tim McVeigh, and they talked a lot. Like, they text and called all the time. And so Tim was like, yeah, things actually weren't great with Justin. And that's a lot of what we talked about. And Tim tells police that that night that they had gotten in the argument before she went missing, that Carrie had told him, like, I can't do this anymore. Like, she was going to end the relationship. But what police found out later was that now Tim is telling police that the night that they got in the fight, she had come over to his house and told him all about it. And they had, like, talked about it, all the things. And then he had dropped her back off at her house.
How did she get there? Why did he not have her drive back in her car? And why? I thought he was out of town.
Well, he tells police that he dropped her off at her house, watched her walk in the garage, and then borrowed her car to go to the airport to Las Vegas. But so the police are like, Justin, I thought she came, like, you said she didn't come home. He said, and he's like, No, she literally never came back home. Like, that didn't happen. So they're like, okay, one of these men is lying.
This can both be true.
Right. Then police get a tip. They get a tip from a man that said that there was a man looking for Carrie in a nearby town, and that that person looking was Carrie's boyfriend. And her phone that hadn't been connecting had started pinging around that area. So the police, of course, are like, Justin, like Carrie's boyfriend, that's Justin. When they asked Justin about it, he's like, I wasn't there. I got in a fight with Carrie. It was no big deal. It was about burnt eggs. And she got pissed, called me stupid, and left. And he's like, I never saw her again. But again, Tim's saying he dropped her off of the house and watched her go in. And Justin's like, that didn't fucking happen.
I'm just going to say, Tim's story does not make sense to me.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, why would you then take her car to the thing? Like, it makes no fucking sense.
Well, then police find that Carrie's debit card had been used. It had been used at a gas station, and it had been used at an ATM. And at the gas station, the video showed it was Carrie's car and debit card. And the person driving the car on the security video was?
Tim.
Yep. And you could see him at the pump try to use her card and tried to deep boop, 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 boop her PIN multiple times. It wasn't working. And then also tried it at an ATM.
Because he thought he knew her password, but she had changed it to whatever. He was probably like, it's the day that we got together.
There were three separate times that her card was used trying to get $400 out and the PIN wasn't working. So police are like, okay, well, why is Tim in her car? Which I feel like he tells that he drove her car to the airport, but also like using her debit card, trying to get money out. This is sketch. And he's like, no, it's not. We're friends.
He keeps saying that.
Yeah. He's like, we're friends. She loaned me her car. She gave me her debit card. It's just something that we did.
No.
He said that Carrie.
Because when is this? When was this?
2013.
Yeah. PayPal was a thing.
Well, and then Tim's like, look, Carrie said that she was going to drive me to the airport that day and she changed her mind. And so she's like, look, just take my car. Just drop me off and take my car. But also, like, how was she supposed to get to work and stuff the next day?
Right.
If you had her car taking you to the airport. And where the fuck is your car, Tim?
Right. Like, is something wrong with the car? What's going on?
So when the police are talking to Tim, they tell him a little fib. They say, look, there was this health clinic that was, like, across from Carrie's house. Like, that's real. But they say, look, we have video from that health clinic. And you are not dropping her off in this video. But they lied. They didn't have video. But Tim was like, I don't know why your video didn't show it, because I did it. Like, he didn't back down on this.
Yeah.
So the police polygraph Tim and Justin, and they both pass.
Well, because Tim is a psychopath.
Well, and then, look, later, because, you know, Tim's the karaoke guy. He is doing karaoke because, you know, he has to get people, you know, he's got to fill in the holes and stuff. So he does a lot of singing, and he does a song by Guns N' Roses called I Used to Love Her.
What?
Yeah. And in the song, it literally says, I used to love her, but I had to kill her.
That doesn't sound like a karaoke song.
Yeah. And
or one that you would do. Like, if you work there to, like, get people enticed to do it. Like, that does sound like a sad song that, like, someone who, you know, was, like, my guy from Liverpool that I was talking about. He was like, I'm going to sing it. I'm going to do it. Not the host being like, all right, y'all, don't you want to sing like this?
Yeah.
And that song.
Well, somebody was there. Like a patron that was there was that knew everything was like, this is weird. And, like, recorded it and showed police.
Oh, fuck.
And look, that's not evidence. Like, that's not evidence of anything. But it's just one of those things that make you go, that's fucking weird. You know, why would you choose that song? Like, what are you, like, that's fucking weird. On April 5th of 2014, things are starting to warm up in the area and snow is melting. And in Minnesota, a body was found. It was unclothed and in this wooded area off of the county road in Hastings. Now, this is 300 miles from where Carrie went missing. In order to identify the body, they circulated a picture of the tattoo. And this tattoo matched Carrie Olson.
Oh my God.
And her family is, of course, distraught. It's like they have all the mixed feelings. They are getting a little bit of closure because she's been missing for 4 months. And so they get a little bit of closure in that regard. But also now they know for sure she's gone. The autopsy showed, well, it wasn't very clear. It showed homicide by unspecified means. So there wasn't like a cause of death, which we saw recently on one of our other stories. Remember that?
Yeah,
I did. It was like they knew it was a homicide, but they were like, shit, which one was that? It was just recently. But anyway, so while the autopsy, as far as cause of death, didn't reveal much, it did reveal a good forensic piece of evidence. There was a chunk of carpet in her hair.
What?
What was rolled up at Tim's house?
Carpet.
Yes. Now, it could be argued she did work at a flooring store and they did sell carpet. So it could be argued that something happened at that, you know, that's from her store. But also, she went missing before she went to work on Monday. So, like, where did that come from? Like, yeah, she worked at a carpeting store, but, like, where the fuck would that have come from? But this is when I think police get one of the biggest breaks in the case, because there was something significant about Hastings, Minnesota, where her body was found. That is where Tim had parked Carrie's car before he went to the airport, because he had flown from Minneapolis to Las Vegas. So Tim had a girlfriend that lived in Hastings, Minnesota.
Oh, my God.
Yep. But they had to do more. They couldn't just be like, well, the car's parked here. Her body's here. It's so circumstantial. They had to link him to the spot where the body was found. So close to where the body was found, they found a price tag.
Oh, fuck.
Now, before I tell y'all any more about the price tag, we have to talk about Paired. I feel like sometimes with the holiday season, it's when you want to feel the closest to your partner. Like, I don't know if it's because, like, you're off work more, you're hanging out more. It's like you think you live in a Hallmark movie. I don't know, but I always want to spend more time with Colby, and I always feel such a better connection close to the holidays. And with Paired, you can make that connection even better. Paired is an app for couples who want to strengthen their relationship. And all of the content is backed by experts and relationship therapists, and it's proven to work.
You could be friends like me and Tiffany who do it, and we really do get to know more about each other and what we want in future relationships. But also, you could be married. You could be just dating. It's couples of all walks of life.
You could be married for 20 years and still find out something new about your partner. So with Paired, it's an app, because you're like, what the heck are y'all talking about? Well, you download the app and you get paired together. Like, you connect your apps together. And every day, Paired gives you personalized questions, quizzes, games to help you stay connected, deepen your conversations, and of course, have fun. Sometimes the conversations are very serious about money and goals, all the things. And sometimes it's like, who's the quirkiest? You know, it like the one today, if your relationship had a theme song, what would it be and why?
What's your answer?
Ooh, that's really hard. I don't know. You know I don't know songs. Probably that Luke Combs song, Beautiful Crazy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here's one more question for you. Which three words describe your partner best?
Strong, kind, loyal.
Golden Retriever.
No. And sometimes the questions are spicy. Like, the game today has you or me turn-ons. And I like with Paired that you have to answer the question before you can see their answers. So it doesn't change what you would say. Okay, like the one Donna just asked about, what are the three words that describe Colby? I answer how I truly feel versus like, oh, maybe he did like a funny answer and I did serious. So let me change my answers. You know, I have to answer it, he has to answer it, and then we see each other's answers. You know, yeah. I'd really like that because it makes you have to answer for you. So I feel like you're more truthful instead of trying to match energies.
Exactly.
Well, right now, if you head to paired.com/creep, you're going to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription.
Again, head to paired, that's PAIRED.com/creep to sign up today.
These games and questions are so much fun. It's so easy. It only takes a couple of minutes a day. So head to paired.com/creep to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. Okay, back to the price tag. So next to Carrie's body was a price tag for $4. Like you could tell it was like on clearance. And the price tag was for a kid's shovel that was sold at Big Lots.
A kid's shovel?
Yeah.
At Big Lots.
So the police are like, okay, where's the closest Big Lots? So they find a Big Lots in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Like at that one, they sold that shovel. Because, you know, Big Lots don't always have the same right at all of them, right?
But I will tell you, they are stepping up on their Halloween and Christmas decorations.
Yeah, they have like blow up and shit.
Really?
Nope, that's Ollie's. Just kidding. Now, they find out from this Big Lots that there was a shovel bought the same day that Tim McVeigh drove to Minnesota. And La Crosse is about 2/3 of the way between the Quad Cities, where Carrie went missing, and Hastings, where her body was found. But of course, the security cameras were broken at the time that the shovel was purchased. And it was bought with cash.
Well, shit.
So they decided to work backwards. They find that Tim, on his way driving to Minnesota, had stopped to buy a cigar at a tobacco outlet. So they knew the exact time when he left the Quad Cities heading that way. So they knew that, okay, this distance from this distance is 2 hours. Made that up. Well, he left Quad Cities at 1:53. So 2 hours later, he'd be hitting that Big Lots at the time of that purchase. It was 3.5 hours, but so this was really big for police because they knew from when he left to the exact amount of time that it would take to get to La Crosse, Wisconsin. But they're like, we still need more to show that he actually made this purchase versus the train left the station in Chicago at 7 p.m. and one left in New York at 4 p.m. When did they cross each other?
So
on the same receipt that the person had purchased the shovel, they also bought a black bag, like a travel bag. It was just like a $10 travel, like kind of toiletry type bag. So police are like, we got to find the fucking bag. They find that bag in the garage at Tim's parents' house.
Okay.
So they're like, fucking got it. So on July 18th of 2014, Tim is arrested for first-degree murder and concealing a homicide. One of the detectives in this investigation is a woman, and she carries pink handcuffs with her so that she can, like, she always uses pink handcuffs. And so it's just like a, ha, you were caught by a woman, and now you're in pink, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I thought that was a cute little detail, but, or a, I don't know, cute was probably not the good word. I just like that little detail. So he pleaded not guilty and was denied bail and had to wait it out in the county jail. Dateline is all over this because, you know, they had shared her missing poster and all the things. So they actually interview Tim in jail. And of course, he's like, I didn't do this. And they're like, what about the song? And he's like, look, that was a shitty song choice. I even said to my friend, like, why the fuck did you let me do that? You know, blah, 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 blah. He stands by it that he watched Carrie walk into her garage and that they were just the best of friends, that she often let him borrow her car and her money and all the things.
But did like anyone back up the story where it's like, oh yeah, she let him borrow her car all the time?
Right.
Because I feel like that would be something that either Justin knew, you know, her best friends knew. Because
right.
When you let your mom take your car or vice versa, or if you're in your mom's car, I'm like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, it's something out of the ordinary. So you would ask.
But also my question is, why would she lend you her car when she had to go to work the next day? Like, so like, what was her plan to get to work?
Yeah, that makes no fucking sense.
Now, prosecutors knew that this wasn't going to be a slam dunk case because they really didn't have a motive for this murder. And, you know, they were really struggling with the cause of death. Now, when this went to trial, though, what they did was they didn't do a jury trial. It was just a judge trial. So in regards to the cause of death, police think that Tim used a method of suffocation called burking.
I ain't never heard of that.
So basically, you sit on someone's chest and you cover their mouth and their nose so that they can't breathe.
Oh my God.
But it doesn't leave any, like strangulation marks. Yes. So the district attorney gets one of Tim's ex-girlfriends on the stand. And she tells the court about one night she wakes up and Tim is sitting on her chest. And he has cut off her airway and, like, she's little. He's just sitting on her and she, like, can't breathe. Now, the defense is like, had any of this ever happened before? Like, was this a joke? Blah, 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 blah. And she's like, I mean, I guess it could have been. He had never, like, physically assaulted her before. But that ain't a fucking joke.
No.
Like, they basically were trying to be like, he's a prankster and it was just a joke. I'm like, no, the bitch couldn't breathe.
Right.
Like, fuck you. That's not a joke.
She woke up to that.
It, yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
And then I think one of the bigger smoking guns for the prosecution was that, I mean, aside from the fact that he had her car and used her debit card and all the things, and that her body was found just a couple of minutes from where the car was parked at the girlfriend's house, the carpet fibers that were found in Carrie's hair matched the carpet fibers from his house.
Wow.
And of course, the defense had to be like, well, she worked at a carpet store. It could have been this. It could have been that. But it matched. Come on.
Yeah. It was weird when he said, hey, go over because she might have been at my house.
Right.
Go through this thing. Like, that's so fucking weird. That's like him putting, well, she
could have been there. Yes.
So I might need to say this. So if they find fingerprints or whatever.
Right. The other thing is that his search history, he had been to the newspaper and Hastings website over 100 times.
Oh, he was seeing if anyone had found that body.
Exactly. And when they interviewed him in the Dateline, he was like, I'm not answering any questions about that.
Wow.
And they were like, but what about? And he's like, move on from this line of questioning. Like, I'm not answering that.
Wow.
At his trial, Justin takes the stand. He was like, yeah, we got an argument. And I honestly don't know why she was so pissed. But, like, I didn't do this. The prosecutor had Justin read text messages that he had sent her, like, please come home. Like, I love you. I'm sorry. I don't know what I did. Like, I love you. Please come home. Like, Colby and I miss you. Like, where are you at? Is everything okay? You know, which, you know, you could do to cover your ass. But but basically the prosecution was like, we think that Tim killed her for money. They were friends. She probably did go to him after, you know, they got in an argument and he was like, take me to the airport. And she probably said no. And he was pissed. I feel like the motive was never really good in this. I do think the forensic evidence and the circumstantial evidence spoke for itself without a motive. Because you don't know.
This is my Lifetime movie version of it, is that they were friends. Because it's hard when you break up because of something that neither of you were a bad person. It just didn't align with what you wanted. So it was always an open-ended, like, they were friends, but, you know, it wasn't a bad thing. So they were friends. But I think he always thought she would come back around.
Yes.
And when she had these fights with Justin or whatever, I think he was trying to be there to be like, oh, yeah, all the things. And I think this time, for some reason, you know, like, she went over there or, you know, whatever. And he thought that was going to be the final straw. And he said, like, are you going to break up with him? And she probably said, no,
yeah.
You know, and that enraged him.
The judge found him guilty of murder and concealment of homicidal death and sentenced him to 45 years in prison.
Because also, do we know why he was going to Las Vegas?
No.
Because that seems awfully convenient. that too.
I'd like to know when he bought those tickets.
Yeah. I'm so glad they found him guilty.
Yes, me too. And that trial lasted like 2 weeks.
Wow. Poor Carrie. Poor Justin. If he, you know, he had nothing to do with it. And now also, who gets Colby? Is it Justin or is it her family?
Probably her parents, I would imagine.
That's so hard. I mean, I know they weren't together that long, so it's that. But like, that's just so hard to think about.
I know. I told Colby, that my Colby, the other day that I was like, we really need a will. He said, he was like, why? And I was like, well, like, who gets our house? Who gets the dogs? Who gets my wedding ring? You know?
Oh, God, that wedding ring.
But, you know, I mean, like, truly, though.
Me.
I mean, we don't have much, but I mean, who gets the car? Or who sells all of this? Who's,
right.
You know, who's responsible for all of it? I mean,
yeah.
Both of his parents are alive. My mom's still alive. You know, like.
Oh, well, don't you just walk in the light. Okay, this is a random question, but when I started this new job and I had to put the life insurance stuff,
mm-hmm.
I told you that I'd put my brother, right?
Yeah.
I was just wondering because I was like, I'm pretty sure that I told Carrie that I changed it to my brother. And I was like, that's just because like we're now close and stuff. Because Carrie has always been the person that I put everything under her name. She's my emergency contact, all the things. Now she's looking at me like, why did it change?
No, he's your brother.
No, I know. It finally makes sense because every time I had to be like best friend.
You're like, is it your roommate?
Right. Well, I hate that, you know, Carrie wasn't just missing and she didn't come back a lot. You know, like, oh, she just needed a break and now everything's fine. But I'm really glad they found her body and gave her family that closure, gave Justin that closure. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, for
because
sure.
Because that's what's hard is when it's like, what happened?
I know. And then you have Justin who's living under this cloud of suspicion for like 7 months.
Yes.
And I mean, he literally did nothing wrong.
Right. That's what's so hard is when you are the like the closest person to them. It's hard not to look at you and be like, what'd you do to him?
Well, and then think about how much did this cost him? Like, aside from, you know, the fact that everybody thought that he did this. But if you think about, like, he probably had to pay for an attorney. He probably had to, you know, what if he, you know, lost the job or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this cost him, could have cost him friends. It could have cost, you know, this cost him probably so much. And he literally did nothing wrong.
No, like it cost him so much and he had already lost the, you know, most important person to him.
Well, thank you for the recommendation. Y'all let us know what y'all think about Donna's creepy ass puppet.
Yeah, y'all go look up that picture, but not at night.
Thank y'all so much for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review, all the things. We'll hear all about Donna's cruise when she comes back. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.